Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. And right off the bat, I want to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. 2024 has flown by, and I think it's just fitting this morning to wind up the last show of the year with one of my very best friends, one of the gentlemen that I respect most in the outdoors. That's Mr. Billy Smith from Eminence, Missouri. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning, Bill. And the same as you said, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. And hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving and as they proceed into the Christmas year. And Bill, too, you're one of my very favorites, friends, and all that with this outdoor world. You were one of the very first to have me get started with my guide service activities.
Well,
I appreciate it much.
Hey, we go back a ways, man. I'm thinking 35 years or so, maybe more.
I know it goes back. Right now, off the top of my head, I can't remember if it was before that, but remember the youth turkey hunt up at northern Shannon County at the Shannondale Timber area. I remember that, and maybe before, you know.
Yeah, that was actually in the early to mid-90s, so we're looking at...
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking at least 30 years. I know it's been a while, but it's been nothing but fun, man. I always look forward to getting down on the Jack's Fork and the Current River with Billy Smith. And Billy, you've lived in that part of the world all your life. Is that true?
Yes, I have. Almost, except for when I was very, very young, you know, my folks, which are from here, my grandfather. Folks are here, great grandfather folks are from here, you know, some of them goes back at least five generations. Briefly, when I was very young, we lived in the St. Louis area and that, but moved back and I started third grade here and continued on through school, then a couple years at college and then a year at a trade school in Southwest Missouri. Other than that, I've lived here and spent a career with a National Park Service and the Maintenance Division, and been a river rat all my life.
Yeah, I can attest to that. But, man, what a life, Billy.
Blessed, Bill.
Oh, absolutely. You got to be the envy of millions of people across this country because, you know, the Ozark National Scenic Riverways, the Current and Jack's Fork are just jewels of rivers. And they've been showcased, of course, by the National Park Service, brought a lot of people in to that part of the world and helped the economy. And, man, I don't get down there near as often as I like to, but if I'm headed south, I generally try to look you up because you're always full of great information.
You're always welcome, and I always enjoy getting to see and spend time with you. And, yes, to be on that beautiful river, in which I've been on it minimally my lifetime, 2,500 times or better on the minimum size, and been around it, either on it or around it through the different work or activities. It's just something I cherish and very thankful for. And every time I'm out there, I just look at it and thank goodness. I'm just glad to be here, glad to get to experience it. So thankful that it didn't get dammed up as proposed.
Absolutely.
And that we can enjoy it for what it is.
Oh, man, yeah, so thankful for that. That's, several generations since that was talked about have been able to keep enjoying the river, and with the Park Service having possession now, I'm sure it's going to last for a very long time. Probably outlast us, you think?
I think it will. Yes. And I hope it does for you know, it's just one of these special places with all the springs, the karst topography, the rich historical heritage that goes back, you know, to our ancestors and those that that are native of this landscape and stuff. It's just something to be cherished.
It really is. And, you know, while we're talking about Christmas and kind of in the festive mood, anyone – well, old or new to the current river, if they've never read it, they need to get their hands on a copy of Stars Upstream, Life Along an Ozark River by Leonard Hall. Now, that was first published way back, but there's been, golly, maybe 20 editions of this thing. But Leonard Hall does a fantastic job of taking people all the way through, you know, the prehistoric times, and lots of good descriptions about the river, both the Jack's Fork and the current river. Talks about a lot of people that lived along the rivers, and man, it's just a great historical rendition of what the current river has meant to mankind, both in prehistoric times and modern times today. But
yes,
hey, you can get on Amazon and order that. I think Stars Upstream. But Billy, every time I think about you, I think about this book and Leonard Hall, because the name Stars Upstream kind of came from the fact that Leonard Hall was standing on the gravel bar one night and the full moon going on and everything, just a beautiful evening. And he was watching the flow of the current, you know, which a lot of us get pretty mesmerized by the beauty of and the sounds and the smells of moving water. But that particular evening, now Leonard Hall has spent a lot of time in his years on the current river, but he noticed that evening the sky was just full of big, brilliant, bright stars, and he was looking at the stars and looking at the current. He noticed that it appeared that the stars' reflection in the current river, they appeared to be moving upstream. So that's where he came up with the name Stars Upstream. It's all pretty intriguing, but I don't want to give the whole story away, you know. You need to get the book.
Yes,
and
is.
Read it.
Yeah, yes, I would highly, we highly recommend that. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure there probably is a bookstore in Eminence downtown there that carries Stars Upstream. And you might even find, I quite often get my hands on old copies, you know, that where people have bought them. In fact, this one I got in my hand was a Christmas gift back in 1985 to a Maxine Erkelstein, it looks like. And pretty cool. And I,
yes.
Yeah. And I even gifted this book to somebody after I picked it up used. And it says Roger. I don't know what Roger that was, but somehow or another, it's come back to me again.
Isn't that wonderful? That is nice. Yes, that
really is. But great book. And of course, as outdoorsman, Billy, there's, wow. You know, we always got a long-running Christmas list going on, I think, you know. Always wanting the new rods and reels and the best baits and the latest and greatest of this and that. And I know you're like me. You probably got hundreds of, not thousands of baits and lures sitting around your house and in the garage and everywhere else. But I always go back to the old reliables when I hit the river. You know, there's a handful of lures that I like to use, and some of them are pretty old, but they still work.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And that, you know, and that's something that some of us could practice more sometimes, that we need to just stop and, you know, and yes, I'm guilty of using the, you know, studying and reading and looking in some of the newer stuff that's come out, but it wouldn't hurt to pause and say, whoa, let's go back and some of this stuff that we used to use and throw, and the grandparents used to use, and they caught fish, and whoa, let's try them again. And I need them. I do. You've helped me sit there and think, I need to do that. So,
put you on the spot just a little bit. Now, your dad, raised on current river, quite a fisherman. If he was going out smallmouth fishing, what are his favorite two or three baits that he would still throw today that perhaps he threw decades ago?
Well, of course, they threw a lot of the old Rebel minnow plugs and some of that jitterbug for top water and the, you know, like the Lucky 13s and,
oh, yes.
you know, baits like that, you know, and the old Beanos. Remember the Beano?
I do.
Oh, my goodness. And my grandpa and that and through those. And my one grandpa would throw a lot on the artificial side. He would throw a little brown hand-tied fly. Probably out of squirrel. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then, and with a straight inline gold spinner, and what size I couldn't tell you. You know.
Sure.
And then with the, remember the old Uncle Josh pork rind.
Oh, absolutely. I still got some of them sitting around.
Okay, and do that. Split that tail on that fly, and then have a split shot up about 6 inches or so above that, and he threw that with that, and just take that and let it flutter and come down along beside a log or whatever, you know. And Bill, I've guided a few folks on the fly fishing, and I had this individual, or did have, out of the St. Louis area that used to come and go when he was a kid with his grandpa back in the old wooden John boat guide days.
Boy.
And Paul threw that on his fly rod. He had that set up because he'd been on Kurt River with all those old time guides, and he threw that faithfully on the river. And a little side note, he caught his biggest smallmouth with me on the river after all those years. He caught a 4-pounder
really?
On that fly rod, and it was quite a battle. And it went in underneath this treetop two or three times, and I thought, well, it'll hang up and break off, and he worked and pulled and come right back out. It was quite a battle.
All
and
that.
So he threw that too. So.
Wow.
It is. I'd like to get my hands on. I actually had some of those little flies like that. And of course, a lot of my grandfathers and oldlers and stuff, which, you know, I lost last year during a fire at my residence where I was at. And after all that, boy, listen, all those memories and treasures like that, I'd tell anybody and everybody, you know, you can't replace them. But,
right.
And I made the mistake, take pictures. Take a video of it, you know,
good
all
tip.
That stuff that, yeah, I had it all displayed, my collector turkey calls and everything. And I should have took a video of it all. And I didn't. And, that, you know, it's gone. It's just in my mind now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you still got some great and fond memories. And I got to mention, while we're talking about old lures and some of the old timers, our good buddy Ron Kruger, you know, finished his life mm-hmm. up down in Eminence. And Ron had invented a lure you used on a fly rod. It was a popper top, had kind of a rat face on the front of it. And I think a dipsy diver, I think he called that. And it was just a wood head. The head was probably inch and a half long, big hook in it for bass. And get all kinds of different feathers coming out of that tail. But, you know, I think I gave you a handful of those.
I was getting ready to say you did. And you know what? It went up in the fire, unfortunately.
I still got a dozen or so left. I'll have to bring you a couple more. But
great.
But I still fish those, particularly in the summertime, on a kind of a heavy-duty fly rod, cast those out. If you strip that dipsy diver dives down 6-8 inches, and if you'll strip it slowly, it's got a real wide wobble to it, man. And Ron Kruger caught a lot of big smallmouth on those dipsy divers, man, and still love them.
But I would appreciate a couple of them. Yes.
Well, you can count on it, but there may be a trade involved. You know, I'm quite a horse trader, and
I know. And I know where you're going. We'll make it happen.
Get on the river.
We will have
get some fish or two and have a little fish fry.
Bar.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things to do. You spoiled me that last fish fry. You know, that was walleye fillets right on the banks of the current river, man. And was it ever good? And I ought to be ashamed of myself.
Oh, I know it.
Situations like that because, I can eat a lot. I can eat a lot when it comes to that.
That's okay. It's acceptable and excusable.
There you go.
Like that on the gravel bar.
Hey, you're a man after my own heart.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right, Billy. We're gonna take just a short break here to hear from some of today's sponsors, but please don't go away. Got a lot more tales coming from Billy Smith. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, and I hope you joined us for that first segment, because I have on the program today Mr. Billy Smith down at Eminence, Missouri. Billy has lived almost his entire life along the current in Jack Fork River, worked, 33 years for the National Park Service, and in the maintenance division, has guided all over that country, fishing, just grand tours. But nobody, I think, knows that part of the world any better than Billy Smith. But Billy, you're still there. I hope you didn't take off and go fishing on me.
Well, it crossed my mind, but I'll stay with you for a little bit, okay?
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. But Billy, it's Christmas time, and you may not remember this, but 18 years ago, Diane, my wife, got married down that part of the world at the old Shenandoah Church. And Jack Peters, who's gone now, but boy, was one of my favorite characters in that part of the country. But he spent a lot of years with the National Park Service as well. And then, of course, had a private business down there, little country store and canoe rental, little campground. But great, great man. And Diane and I actually spent the evening there, went to your Eminence Christmas parade after we got married, man. And it was just an incredible, incredible event. Is that still going on these days?
Oh, yes, it is. It's still a nighttime Christmas parade. It's always the first Saturday in December, and the town is just full of life. I don't know how many years they've been doing a nighttime parade, but it's been several, and it's just a grand event. Folks are lined up along the street from on the south side of town to the north side. The Highway 19 and 106 is the traffic is stopped while the parade is taking place right down through the middle of the town. It's lit up with everything. It's just people. I mean, for 2 miles, right? I believe it probably up and down the side of the road. Lots of floats. Just it's a wonderful event. If you've never experienced it, worth your time to come and go to it.
It's my favorite parade of all time. We've been back 2 or 3 times, and we actually, my big red Ford pickup, we actually dialed it all up and put lights on it, and we got in the parade 1 year.
Yeah, nice. Yes,
it
is.
Had a big time, but wonderful people down there. And I can't remember who it is, had a huge truck and playing music, Chattanooga choo-choo train.
they fixed that truck. They haven't done it for a few years. It's been a couple years since they've done that. It takes an immense amount of work
to do that
big tractor trailer, and they set it up on that big flatbed of the tractor trailer, and it's music and like 10,000 lights on it, something to see. Actually, you folks are listening, you can Google that, and it's on YouTube, Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train, Eminence, Missouri. Google that so you can see what we're talking about. It's quite an attraction. And but like I said, they haven't done it for a few years, and because it just takes a lot of work to put it together, and then they've got to immediately get it undone because that truck goes back to work on the road.
I would imagine. But what an event. Yeah, please do Google that up, folks, and take a look. That'll do your heart good. I tell you what.
Yes, it is. So,
Eminence knows how to do it up at Christmas, that's for sure.
Yes, they do. And you mentioned, of course, the wedding 18 years ago and Jack Peters. And Jack was just like with many, many people, one of the favorite individuals, icons of the area. He was the very first law enforcement park ranger here at Ozark Scenic Riverways. And Jack just had an ability to have a rapport with the people and everything. And I know that when I decided to start doing this guide service, bring it back to the area here in this upper part or middle part of the current river, depends on how you look at that, into this area. One of the individuals that I wanted to talk with, because we'd had previous conversations, was Jack Peters. I went and seen him, and he was just thrilled to hear and to know that I was going to take those steps to bring back a guide service in the area.
Oh, I bet he was, and I can't think of anybody to go to get advice from. In fact, Jack and I became really close, and I actually took him turkey hunting and wrote an article about him. It went out to several magazines, and he kind of grabbed me by the scruff of the collar a little bit, because I was poking fun at him in this article. In fact, the title, it was Jack's Jake in the Red Blind. We had gone to a local farm hunt there, and I just assumed Jack Peters, was a guru of a turkey hunter. Well, he'd been that part of the world, I don't know, 30 or 35 years or maybe more. He'd killed one turkey. So I took him out and went to a great farm we called the Turkey Farm. They're not too far from Current River. And, we had a pretty good morning. It was a big ridge with turkeys roosted on all the time, and daylight, man, they're just tearing that ridge up. But it is a really steep ridge, and I figured out Jack was kind of gimpy and I wasn't much better, So I figured out those turkeys, they'd be down in the bottom there about around 11 o'clock. So we set up a little blind, put out some decoys, calling the turkeys gobbling. They finally quietened down. So I figured it was working their way down the blind towards the bottom. But they got there a lot earlier that morning. We were sitting in the blind talking, Jack really liked to talk. And I just happened to look out the left side of the blind across Jack. And there's three big gobblers standing there about 20 yards.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
They snuck in on us. Of course, Jack got so excited, he talked so much, he forgot he'd put his shotgun over in the corner of the blind. So he had to get out of his chair and kind of crawl off, get his shotgun back up in his chair. And I whined a little bit, and the turkeys were staring at those two decoys. Well, they made just a U-shaped travel path around to the very front of that blind, perfect shots, 15 yards. Jack said, let's count to three and shoot. I said, no, Jack, you shoot first. Soon as you shoot, I'll shoot, and we're going to double up here. Well, guess what? Jack missed.
Oh, goodness.
And his eyes got so big. I said, Jack, shoot again. He's pulling the trigger instead of pumping his gun. It was a pump gun. Well, in all the excitement, of course, the turkeys took off running. I shot and I missed. And I shoot in a semi-auto and my gun jammed. We didn't kill anything. Oh, my goodness. I wish you could have been there. It's one of the few times I saw Jack Peters cry. He laughed so hard and tears just flowing down his face, you know.
But, oh, goodness. But what a memory. What a treasure.
Oh, absolutely. But we recovered. We got up, went for a pretty good walk around the farm, and turkeys hadn't gobbled again at all. And we've gone for an hour or better. We went down the hollow little ways, this open field with, you know how they are down there, little narrow fields, and woods will come out to the middle of the field. We was winding around through there, talking again, not paying much attention. Come around that last corner, back to the little field where our blind was, there stood three gobblers again right in front of our blind. And all I could see, that old blind, Jack had that blind up for years, I guess. Used to be camo. It was almost bright red. The sun had bleached it out, and it was red as it could be, but it didn't bother those gobblers. Long story short, we got in a dry creek bed there and crawled up creek bed and had Jack crawling up about 30 yards in front of me, and I started calling, and there was a jake broke off and come right down the edge of that creek bed in the wood line, walked up within probably 15 yards of Jack again. Billy, when he pulled that trigger, I thought he'd shot six feather pillows. I mean, I've never seen so many feathers come off a turkey in my whole life. But that's where the story came from.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Jack and a red blind. What a gentleman.
Oh, man. I know it. One of these days, when you're visiting with Ray, I ask him about when I looked at him. I said something about, on a turkey hunt and the film, and I said something to him. I said, do you want to play Hollywood or something, or do you want me to kill a turkey? I'd put the crawl on them. I come off with one of my remarks. So anyway.
Well, Ray, I could go either way. We both realize that, he's quite the entertainer. And still doing a radio show out of St. Louis area, I think.
Yes, Saturday morning. Yeah, once in a while I'm on it. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I hear you. He even calls me once in a while for a fishing report.
Okay.
Yeah, he always tells me. So. He tells me before he ever lets me on the air, no lies, Cooper. you're a good one to be talking. But Ray,
I know it. Oh, what he's been, just like you, he's been from the very beginning. I met him years and years ago. And of course, it's a funny story and that how I met him. It's hilarious. But anyway, he's been great and supportive and stuff also with my endeavor with the guide service. And I've had him out on the river, listening and scouting for turkeys, and took some of his media folks before. And it's just been great.
So, oh, absolutely. Jewel of a human being. And I actually got to recognize Ray back in August. I was actually, can't believe this happened, but inducted into the Legend of the Outdoors National Hall of Fame. And, of course, I think Ray, I had something to do with that. He probably nominated me, but he was there. And I got to do a little speech, And he's the person I wanted to recognize as having had the most influence on my outdoor career. I mean,
I can see that.
He took me under his wing a long time ago. We started doing youth programs together. Then you'll laugh at this. He invited me to a media hunt. I said, a what? I had no idea what a media hunt was. just a bunch of outdoor writers, radio, TV people get together and do a hunt, But that was my start. But what a gentleman. Love him to death.
Yes.
Well, Billy, little look back, 2024 in the Eminence area. A lot of things happened in 2024, and of course, one of the most recent things was another huge flood. What did it do to the Eminence area?
Okay, the flood that happened, it was at the 1st of November, and we kind of paralleled the one back in 17 in the sense that we had had a rain and flood in the area. The rivers had rose up. We'd been needing it for a while, finally. But then a few days later, or 2 days later, I'd have to look back at the exact time frame, it come a tremendous heavy rain on the very, come across the head of the Jack's Fork area and the head of the Kern River area, and rose up fast. It actually was higher, I know by the reports they said, on the upper Kern River, higher than it was in the 217 flood. We know, we've seen the reports and stuff that Montauk State Park got hit, devastated. Come on down, of course, those areas like Acres and Pool Tide. I drove into Pool Tide here recently, or, you know, a few days after that had taken place. And, you know, it done a number on the Pool Tide access area. You know, the one picnic shelter was washed away, and it cut off the access at the landing and pulled up the pavement and trees down. It got up into the main ranger office bathroom right there at the entrance area at Pool Tide. Just done, you know, tremendous damage. And around Springs, on down to Round Springs, it done quite a bit of debris and cutting of the way it cut the banks and stuff like that. So, and the upper Jack's Fork was hit. The difference in this one than like the 217 is that rain was on the very headwaters of it. So by the time it got on down, there wasn't the influence of the tributaries and everything from this middle area. So it didn't get up as much. It was at Powder Mill, where 106 crosses the Kern River, which is, you know, 5-6 miles down from Two Rivers, where the Jack's Fork, you know, meets into the Kern River. That's between Eminence and Ellington. It was just, it crested just under 30 feet, 29.79, it seems like. When perspective, the 17 flood there hit around 44 feet at that time. So it was close, but it wasn't as big. But so that very upper part of the Kern River and Jack's Fork was hit hard. Sure was.
Wow.
The other thing that's happened with this flood, and we started seeing this somewhat in the last few years, because some of these are coming so hard and fast, we're seeing this tremendous gravel movement in the river, and the way it is cutting and leaving like waves of gravel, you know, that's in the river channel. You'll have this hump and depression, and this hump and depression, and then deposits of that gravel, and already having gravel bars like at the end of this hole of water that's already there now, or some of the gravel bars that where they would come out more rounded and stuff, they've took that and it's like points or ridges, you know, little points and indentions of that gravel, you know, angling downstream.
Wow.
And it's cut places to where, like, say, with us navigating with our river, you know, boats, river jet boats, I call them jets, you know, and that it's making it already at the levels, of course, we're getting on down, that it's going to be a challenge to run to navigate these places. Where I've been on it those last couple of weeks. I've been out on the river, various different places, anywhere from Two Rivers to Blue Springs, from the log yard access down, which is, you know, the log yard's basically, let's call it halfway between Powder Mill or Two Rivers and Van Buren, and they're downstream. And then I've been from Big Springs down for about 15 miles. And yesterday was at the Arkansas border on Kern River. And man, you see this change that I'm talking about on the river.
So people that are going to get out with their jet boats, anytime soon, need to proceed with caution, huh?
Yes, you do. I mean, I almost dry docked on going over one of these typical shows of going a normal path. The sun was shining. I couldn't see good. The wind was blowing. And I slowed down to kind of looking. And, man, all of a sudden, that water looked like it was about 2 inches deep right there. And I fortunately got my motor trimmed and backed up to get, you know, away from that. So there is places like that. So this last flood not only the damage, which is the damage that it done, like at Acres and Pool Tight and those places, where I've seen significant changes in the river. Maybe not a whole new channel, you know,
right?
But it's widened areas and it's deposited gravel and it's done things like that.
Wow.
So,
well, word of caution, just be careful when you do go out there. Well, Billy, in the last couple minutes of program here, I know what you were doing down on Arkansas border the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing walleye. It's that time of the year. Give us a brief rundown on what's going on with the walleye fishing.
Okay, well, it's getting that time of year. They're starting to get on the move for their spawn here. The river walleye will start spawning somewhere there, usually in February, toward the latter part of February, first part of March. Depends on what area and what river you're in. And so they're starting to move and stage up for that, getting active. That water temperature is dropping. We had 49 degrees yesterday, even down there. I had 49 degrees at the Big Springs and the log yard area on the river. So that activity down on that lower, I call the lower part of the Kurt River and over on the Black River and stuff, that walleye activity starting to pick up. You know, it's a time of the season that I will start, you know, going and targeting walleye, we only caught three yesterday. I caught one decent one at about 25 inch.
Wow.
It was a nice battle in some, and the end of the hole still had some good current in it. So that made it even better. And when you spot lock, you know, hold the boat in that position right there, that even makes it more fun. So
Go ahead. I got to get down there, man. You're giving me the fever.
It is. Yeah. You know, the door's open, buddy. Come on.
As soon as I get over this cold, we'll talk once again. Well, Billy, I know you still do some guiding. You got guide friends. If people want to talk to you, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay. Give me a call, 573-225-3390. Or you can, give me a call or a text. You can get hold of me through my Facebook site. You can send a message through it. That's Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours. You can also go to my website and give me a message. But the best way is by phone or the messenger, or send a message through the Facebook site. And that's the best way to get hold of me. You know, I primarily focus on smallmouth fishing in what I call the middle part of Kurt River, you know, basically from Two Rivers down to Donovan. That's my primary area. Not that I won't go to the other. And then that walleye fishing, I will get you, we'll talk whether I get you set up with me or one of my guide friends that's a little bit more closer and stuff for that area that we like to target for the walleye. And let me tell you something. The thing about that is it's not a numbers game, usually, like you in the Northwoods, but your one cast can be that 10, 12, 14-pound walleye.
Wow. That's a big walleye. And I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen your photographs. I've seen them on the walls. I've seen them on the walls of restaurants and businesses down there. So I know it happens. Well, Billy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the program today. This is the last program of 2024. But folks, be sure and follow us into the new year. And from Billy Smith and myself, Bill Cooper, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And folks, Billy and I are living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your outdoor dreams as well. I'm Bill Cooper.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.